5, if you turn there, Matthew chapter number 5, and I want to just look at, well, we'll look at a few verses here, and then we're going to zero in on one of them. And by the way, when I talk to God, God gives me a song too, and I'm grateful for that. God gives me a verse, and He gives me a song when I'm in prayer. And there's nothing like getting a song from the Lord and getting a verse from the Lord. This is not where I've been reading, but God stirred my heart a couple of days ago in my prayer time of a specific verse in Matthew chapter number 5. This is the Sermon on the Mount, the beginning of the Sermon on the Mount, Matthew 5, 6, and 7. And by the way, I spent some time last night and today reading those chapters and studying those chapters a little bit. Because when God gives me a verse, I think, well, He gave me that verse and it's so good, there's probably a verse right before it and after it too that'll even make it better. And then maybe a chapter before and a chapter after it that'll make it even better. But Matthew 5, it says, "And seeing the multitudes, He went up into a mountain. And when He was set with His disciples, came unto Him, and He opened His mouth and taught them, saying, Blessed, happy, joyful, fulfilled are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven." You've got to learn to be poor in spirit before you can ever be saved. You've got to learn to be poor in spirit before you can ever grow in the Lord. Once you're no longer poor in spirit, you quit growing in the Lord. Once you think you've figured it out, you've quit growing in the Lord. Blessed are they that mourn, for they shall be comforted. Aren't you glad for the comforting hand of God? And it's a blessing to mourn. Oh no, it's a sad thing. No, that's a blessing, because that's when you know the presence of God. I could go on to each one. I don't want to do that this evening. Blessed are the meek, for they shall inherit the earth. Blessed are they which do hunger and thirst after righteousness, for they shall be filled. That's the verse right there. Blessed are the merciful, for they shall obtain mercy. Blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God. You ever see God? Blessed are the peacemakers, for they shall be called the children of God. Blessed are they which are persecuted for righteousness' sake, not because of our stupidity. Most of us are persecuted because of our stupidity, because of our ignorance. For theirs is the kingdom of heaven. And I certainly came to understand that many years ago and still oftentimes. Blessed are ye when men shall revile you and persecute you and shall say all manner of evil against you falsely. I like what, I think it was Charles Spurgeon, I just read this not too long ago, said that, hey, when folks say bad things about me that aren't true, don't let that bother you. Because there's enough things that are true that they could say about me that they're not telling you. I'm thankful for God's mercy and God's forgiveness. But when they say things falsely for Christ's sake, it ought not to bother me. It ought to cause me to rejoice. Rejoice and be exceeding glad, for great is your reward in heaven. So persecuted they the prophets which were before you. There's no reason we should ever get discouraged. No reason we should ever get defeated. God gave me a thought this morning before I even get back to the verse. When do you call the doctor? Get sick, don't you? When do you call the mortician? Somebody dies. When do you call the plumber? When you got a plumbing problem, don't you? When do you call the mechanic? You know, you ever pick up the phone and call the plumber and say, "Hey, how are you doing today? It's a beautiful day, isn't it?" No. He'd hang up on you. You'd think you've lost your mind. You call them when you've got a problem. And the sad reality is the majority of our praying is when we're in the depths of despair. Now, when do you prepare for a battle? Once the bombs start going off around you? Once the missiles start shooting at you and the bullets start flying? Is that when you prepare for the battle? No, you go through basic training long before you prepare. That's preparing for the battle before you get in the battle. When do you prepare for the spiritual battle? It's sad that most people enter spiritual warfare without ever preparing themselves. I was thinking of a song. Maybe I'll have you sing this song with me. You probably know it. Sometimes when life seems gentle and blessings come my way, I turn my gaze away from you and soon forget to pray. But when the sky grows darker and courage turns to fear, my anxious voice cries upward with words you long to hear. Lord, I need you. When the sea of life is calm, oh Lord, I need you. When winds are blowing strong, whether trials come or cease, keep me always on my knees. Lord, I need you. Lord, I need you. Oh, how we wait. We've seen this so many times. People have an addiction. People have a problem with sin. They come and they pray and they beg with God, and God gives them a little victory, and then they think, well, I'm okay now. Oh, no, they're not. We ever get that place where we don't think we need God? God led me to spend some time in this chapters 5, 6, 7, in this Gospel of Matthew, the Sermon on the Mount last night and this morning, and God gave me something. I had a nursing home service this morning, and I just sought God a little bit and asking Him what to share. And usually in the nursing home, I just share what God gave me that morning. And God directed my attention, if you turn over to Matthew chapter number 6, verses 5 through 8, just before the instruction on prayer. He says, when thou prayest, thou shalt not be as the hypocrites are, for they love to pray standing in the synagogues and in the corners of the streets, that they may be seen of men. Verily I say unto you, they have their reward. But when thou prayest, enter into the closet. And when thou hast shut thy door, pray to thy Father which is in secret. And thy Father which seeth in secret shall reward thee openly. When ye pray, use not vain repetitions as the heathen do, for they think that they shall be much heard for their much speaking. Be not ye therefore like unto them, for your Father knoweth what things ye have need of before ye ask Him. Isn't that a great verse there? God knows what you have need of before you ask. Well, then why do we have to ask Him? Because He likes us to ask. He likes that conversation. That's the purpose of prayer, is to communicate with Him. He could give us anything He wants to, and He does meet our needs. Oftentimes, sad to say, He gives us what we need without us even asking, because we're not smart enough to ask. But He has so many things for us that He wants us to ask, and He wants us to ask for them, not because we need to beg and plead with Him, but He just wants that communication with us. And God wants to bless us. God wants to give us so many things. And I got thinking about some of those dear folks that I'll be speaking to in a bit at a nursing home as God was talking to me this morning. And then I took time to get cleaned up and get prayed up and drove up to the nursing home and got there. And I just share something that happened to me this morning, if you don't mind. I just thought, then we're going to come back to the verse, but got to the door and I realized, oh no, they're still playing the COVID game here. I got to wear a mask and I don't have a mask. So I had to go in and ask. And usually there's some inside that I don't have one with me. I felt so silly. I've got it with me now. I lost it. I had it with me. Oh no, I done lost it. I stuck it in my pocket so I would have it next time. But we'll have to beg another one next time. So anyway, the nurse had to go find one somewhere, and I got in. I started greeting the people, walking around, talking to some of the folks, and course, half of them had their masks. I took mine off so I could talk to them. Of course, those things do a lot of good, don't they? We're just having a great old time. And I turned around and saw Mrs. Reverend and her helper. I thought, something ain't right here. I said, "Hi, I'm Pastor Fritz." And they said, "Are you here the wrong week?" I said, "No, I'm here the third Wednesday of each month." They said, "This is the fourth Wednesday." I did what you're thinking right now. Got my calendar out. But this is the third Wednesday. They come on the fourth Wednesday. I come on the third Wednesday. But we were there at the same time. And they had, I thought we were having a gardening club because there was a Easter lily there and a box of trinkets and things for religious stuff. And I thought, oh my, I'm not sure what we're going to do here. So we checked our calendars and they offered to share the service with us. They said, "Well, we'll do the liturgy and you do the preaching." And I said, "Nah, I don't think I could do that. So I tell you what, we'll let you do it today since you brought all your religious trinkets here. You've got your box of goodies here and you're setting up. We'll just let you do it today and I'll come back next week." And some of the people that normally come weren't there anyways. So I said, "We'll just come back next week and that'll be fine with me." They said, and the thought came to me, and of course, it was the kind of church that I grew up in, other than they didn't have ladies doing the ministerial work when I was a youngster in that church. And I said, "Well, we'll do the liturgy." And I thought, "We don't do liturgy." What is that? That's the hocus pocus when they wave the magic wands and all that kind of stuff. And I thought, I'm not going to participate. In fact, I don't even know if it's the same anymore. When I was in it, it was, they'd chant something and then you'd say, "Ah, man." But now I think they probably change it where you got to say, "Ah, woman." I don't know how they do it now. So I thought I might be a little bit out of place. So I'm not sure if I could follow along with that. But Baptists don't do liturgy. But then as I left, I thought, you know what Baptists are good at, though? We're not good at liturgy. We're good at lethargy. We really are good at lethargy. Blessed are they that hunger and thirst after righteousness. That means you don't care, okay? That means you're lethargic. That means you just kind of show up, nod off. Are we hungering and thirsting? That's the verse God's been stirring in my heart all week. How hungry, how thirsty are we for the Word of God? We come to church and, oh yeah, we'll put up with this for a little bit. If he tells a couple of good jokes, you're out of luck with me, all right? We'll remember that. We might remember the story. We might remember the exciting things, but to study our Bible, memorize Scripture, to get to that place where we can't get enough of the Word of God, to get to the place where we can't pray enough, where we come into God's house expecting something, that would be revival, by the way. That would be a transformation. That would be turning the world upside down. Or what do I say, Connor? Right side up sometimes. Turn the world upside down to the apostles rather than, oh yeah, and dozing off during the church services. We're good at lethargy, but are we good at digging into the Word of God? Are we hungering and thirsting for the Word of God? I've been begging and asking God to give me a desire. As I've been taking this journey of prayer, I find that an hour ain't long enough to pray. I got to get up earlier in the morning sometimes and maybe just stay up later at night to spend more time in prayer. It's just not enough and time to pray. There's so many things, and you can do so many more things if you sought the Lord first. There's not enough time to study the Bible like we'd like to study. And some folks say, "Well, yeah, I read my 5 verses today. I've got good luck. We'll get through it today." I think back when I was a young Christian, and I was sharing with a young young men the other day that I almost quit Christianity because of what I saw in those that had been in church for a long time. I couldn't get enough of the Bible. I couldn't get enough. I sat right up here and I was soaking up every word. And yet, and I started doing that because some of my buddies that have been in church all their life are sitting back there joking and laughing about things, talking about things that had nothing to do with God and could care less about the things of God. They didn't know what it was to leave home, to come to church, not knowing if you're going to have a home to live in when you get home after church. Leaving home in the morning to come to church and knowing that you're going to miss the family meal and they're not going to save any leftovers for you. You might as well not go home on Sunday afternoon because all they're going to do is give you grief. Better off just to stay with the youth pastor because you can at least talk about the things of God there. But then you see the Christian people that are horsing around and joking around and talking about what they saw at the on the movies the other night and the things that they did that I used to do in the world and there's no hunger and thirst after the things of God. And then to go off to Bible college and I wasn't planning on sharing this, but I just thought God seems to be telling me to do this right now. I don't know why. Going out to Bible college and finding out that the majority of young men in Bible college are just there for the ride. In fact, a few of them said, I thought Bible college, Brother Todd here, I thought Bible college was going to be a year-long Christian camp. I'd never been to a Christian camp before. I didn't know what they were talking about. Oh, at a Christian camp, we play games and we have a preacher and then we go do our own little thing for a while. I didn't know we were actually going to have to do work. Man, I was there to find out what God said. And folks would complain about the rules and the things that we had to do. We got to read all that. They expect us to read. Oh, I'm hungering and thirsting for righteousness. And folks didn't know what it was to sacrifice, not knowing if they're going to survive in Bible college because they didn't have any support from anyone else. Nobody's paying the bill. And they got enough to make it for the first month. And after that, we're going to have to live by faith or we're going to die because we have nowhere to go and no way to get there if we don't make it. And I needed to get a hold of God and was longing for God. Blessed are they that hunger and thirst after righteousness, for they shall be filled. Now, I'm not saying that we got to get rid of everything and jump out of our family and everything else, but there's something real when you're put in a situation where you either dig into the Word of God or you die, where there's no support, nothing else. And I guarantee you the Word of God is real. There's a hunger and a thirst to know God and to walk with God and to get a relationship with God. But we live in a day today where Baptists are good at lethargy. We're good at, as I read, I jumped there this afternoon to look at it again in Revelation chapter number 3. And this is the day that we live in today, the days of Laodicea. And we could look at these seven letters to the seven churches, and there's no question in my mind that we are living in the end times, and it has nothing to do with the signs and things that we see going around our world today, but it has everything to do with what God sees in church houses and what I feel in my own heart today and how easy it is to get trapped into this mold and the spirit of Laodicea. In verse number 14 of Revelation chapter number 3, it says, "Unto the angel of the church of the Laodiceans, write these things, saith the Amen, the faithful, the true witness, the beginning of the creation. I know thy works, that thou art neither cold nor hot. I would that thou wert cold or hot. So then, because thou art lukewarm, neither cold nor hot, I will spew thee out of my mouth. Because thou sayest, I am rich and increased with goods and have need of nothing, and know not that thou art wretched and miserable and poor and blind and naked." By the way, which one of those do we see ourselves? Oh, we've got it all. We've got it made. God, we've got this prayer thing figured out. We've got this Bible thing. Hey, we're good at praying, playing church. We know how to stand up and sit down. We know how to sing the songs. We know how to get by and how to show up on time and how to go home and put on a happy face while we're there. And we know all those things. And we've got it all figured out. And God says, but thou knowest not that thou art wretched and poor and naked, blind and naked. I counsel thee to buy me gold tried in fire, that thou mayest be rich, and white raiment, that thou mayest be clothed, and the shame of thy nakedness do not appear, and anoint thine eyes with eye salve, that thou mayest see. As many as I love, I rebuke. By the way, we don't like that, do we? God says, if I love you, I'm going to rebuke you. As a father chastens his children, as I love you, I'm going to rebuke you. Be zealous, therefore. Be zealous. Notice that word. Be zealous, therefore. Hunger and thirst after righteousness. God, I've got to have a word from you. God, I've got to hear from you. God, I've got to have my prayers answered. I'm not going to make it if you don't answer these prayers. Hunger and thirst for righteousness. By the way, the righteousness of God is the gospel of Jesus Christ. God's plan or scheme, not my righteousness, but His righteousness, His plan or scheme of redemption. God, give me a hunger and a thirst for righteousness to tell somebody about Jesus Christ, to share the gospel with someone, to share God's plan of redemption for lost man is God's righteousness. Be zealous and repent. Behold, I stand at the door and knock. And again, he's not talking to lost people. He's talking to God's people. Would to God that we would hear him knock. Hear his voice and open the door, and I will come in unto him and sup with him and he with me. He that overcometh, overcometh the spirit of indifference of our world. Overcometh the spirit of apathy in our world. Overcome the spirit of drowsiness in our world today. And again, I go back to the last few verses of Romans chapter number 13, and I remember my pastor encouraging us to memorize those verses. Awake, thou that sleepest, and arise unto righteousness, and live for God, and walk with God, and God will come in, and will sup with him, and he with me. Oh, the fellowship. Blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God, to know His presence. When God transforms our life, not our transforming our life, not our cleaning up our act, but our humbling ourselves before Him. And even as I also overcame and am set down with my Father in His throne, he that hath an ear, let him hear what the Spirit saith unto the churches. Oh, that we would hear what God has for us today. Revival will come if we get hungry. If we get hungry, revival will come. Blessed are they that hunger and thirst after righteousness, for they shall know. I'm misquoting the verse. I want to make sure I get it right. Blessed are they that hunger and thirst after righteousness, for they shall be filled. My cup runneth over. Revival will come if we will hunger and thirst after righteousness. But until then, we can go ahead and complain about the crime that's going on in our world around us. We can complain about the moral corruption and the political corruption of our day. But if we get hungry, God will transform that. We can look at the violence, the rat race, the addictions, the abuse, and the sin that's so rampant around us. But if we hunger and thirst after righteousness, our cup will be full, will be filled with God's presence and filled with joy and filled with the gospel and sharing the gospel until that day, until that time when we hunger and thirst after righteousness, folks are still going to be dying and going to hell because we're not sharing the gospel with them, because we're not hungering, thirsting after the Word of God. Hungering and thirsting for righteousness, desiring to know the gospel, that we can share the gospel And Christians will continue to play church until we hunger and thirst after righteousness. God, give us a hunger and a thirst for righteousness. I can't get that thought out of my mind as God gave it to me Monday morning in my prayer time. And I beg you to join in this prayer journey, to learn to pray and to get real with God and to get honest and open with God. I thought it interesting. Yes, if I would have preached a message this morning with those reverends, reverendettes, I guess. I think back of the days when I was a part of that religion, when we did those vain repetitions. And that's what Jesus was talking about. Use not vain repetitions. They use not your little trinkets and your little magic formulas and your, you'll stand up, sit down, do this, and worship this little God, and look at this little God, and eat this little wafer, and God is good, and God loves everybody, and do your little magic, and you say, and you chant that Our Father which art in heaven, and we chanted that one after another. Oh, if we'd have just read the verses before that, if we'd have even known that was in the Bible, that might have made a difference there. But we just thought it was something that some pope wrote for us or something. If we'd learned to get a hold of God and pray as Jesus taught his disciples to pray and to hunger and thirst after righteousness. God, give us a hunger and thirst for righteousness. If we're going to see revival, it's not going to be because we hired or got an evangelist in, had a special meeting and set the nights aside. It's because we hungered and thirst after righteousness. If we're going to know God's grace as being amazing, it'll be when we hunger and thirst after righteousness, when God will begin to transform our life. We want the world to know Christ. We want our neighbors to know Christ. Well, if He begins to work in our life, then He will use us to reach them. He'll give us the grace and the ability to reach them if we would learn to hunger and thirst. Pray for me as I seek to hunger and thirst for righteousness. God, help us all together to hunger and thirst for righteousness, for we will be filled. The promise is given if we hunger and thirst for the Word of God. Father, give us that hunger, that desire.